Laying down our lives. Another title to this could be Love's Crucial Judgment. You see, love is more than an affection and kind feelings. That they're good to have, don't get me wrong. But it is the heart of the life that is revealed to us by God through Jesus Christ. From His life and teaching, we learn love. This is not a new commandment, but it is from the beginning. Love God, love one another. John declares that this is what has come to us. Now we must choose whether we will perpetuate it or prevent it, whether we will believe it or live it, whether we will live it out clearly so that others will catch on to it, or allow the world to redefine God's Word. And in so doing, destroy the influence that is among us. Are we going to do what God's Word tells us, or are we going to allow the world to redefine that love for us and allow it to change us? The question before us now is, how is love lived out? There's a few things this morning that I think about love living out. It begins in listening. This is the message that you have heard. Let's not assume too quickly the ease of hearing, either in relation to one another, especially in family life or in relation to God. Often ours is selective hearing. Do you ever hear what you want to hear? Do you ever know that there's people talking to you and about you and they want your attention, but yet you hear what you want to hear? I hear husbands and wives talk about this quite often, about each other, that they have selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. We tune people out. We choose to hear and tune out the world, that which we like to ignore. And we do that in a lot of ways. To allow God's love to be lived out in us, we must cultivate the discipline of listening, to truly listen to someone. Often in counseling situations, especially with couples, I ask this question. And I asked this question this week because I met with a couple who's getting married. And I said, how is your quiet time? And more often than not, couples have no idea what I'm talking about. They'll go, what do you mean? They have no concept of quiet time. Living and loving in relationship to God and to others requires us listening. It requires us listening. We need to have our quiet time to reflect on God and ourselves, and then to reflect on God in that relationship with another person. And how do we do that? Second thing today, it also suggests an ethic that is higher than cultural expectations. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Oh my. Think of how we are called to live. Look at the words in God's Word that calls us out. Don't be surprised if the world doesn't like you a whole lot, if the world hates you, if the world condemns you. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And if you do that, you're going to have people condemning you all the time. Leviticus 19:18 reads, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35, we hear these words, a new commandment I give to you, that you are to love one another as I have loved you, and you also should love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In our Lord's Sermon on the Mount that we find in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7, we are called to a demanding ethical dimension of faith. We are to live as light and salt, to practice piety in secret, to love our enemies, and pray for those who abuse us. If we love only those who love us back, we have nothing, we've done nothing. For even the unbelievers do that. Ours is an extraordinary faith. You know, we're supposed to be light and salt. We talked about this a few Sundays ago. And if we lose our brightness and if we lose our taste, we are nothing. We're to love our enemies. We're to pray for those who abuse us, for those who attack us and talk about us. Is that easy to do? No. It's probably one of the hardest things that we are ever asked to do, is to love our enemies and pray for those who abuse us. Pray for those people in the world who do things. Sometimes people do things on purpose to hurt you, and then sometimes people don't mean to do things and it hurts you. But we are supposed to pray for those people. We're supposed to love them, because God says, you know, if even the unbelievers do that, even the unbelievers love those people that love them. But we have an extraordinary faith, because we are to love those and care for those who might not always care about us. And so the world hates us because it cannot understand us. As Christians, the world does not quite understand us. Love calls for faith, not just talked about, but lived out. You know, you can talk all you want to, you can read all the scripture you want to and walk around, but unless you're living your life, it's not going to make much difference. Such love is fulfilled all about us. In family life, as parents sacrificially give of themselves for their children. In friendships, as we offer the best of ourselves for the good of others. And in prayer groups and service groups in the highways and byways of ministry around us. And we become thousands of points of light in a dark world, because we begin to do things and other people see us. We're out there doing things, not just being good, but doing it in a Christ-like faith, doing it for God. The third thing today is we are also called to avoid the era of human pride. Now, that's a hard one, too. That's not the easiest thing to ever do, to avoid the era of human pride. Do not be like Cain. His actions were evil. Do not begin to think too highly of yourself. Do not begin to believe your own press. We are taken back to Genesis now, to chapter 4, where already two altars existed in the Old Testament. These two brothers couldn't even worship together, Cain and Abel. The end result, of course, of their disquieted relationship was tragic. And Cain rose up and he murdered him. Cain rose up and he murdered his brother Abel. He killed him. The blood flowed. The word murder means he cut his throat. Sadly, there is around us still today a great deal of cutthroat Christianity, because we think we have the right answers and we don't want to listen to someone else's. We don't want to think about changing. We don't want to think about entertaining anyone else's opinion or idea. Sometimes we have to listen. We have to think about. We have to relook at what we think we know. You see, John's early community knew something of this as well. Notice, however, that John didn't dismiss a rampant heresy within the group as a means of smoothing over controversy. No. Instead, he asked that they test their spirits. Test the spirits. Simply put, the test was this: does the opposition profess Jesus Christ as God's revelation to the world? Do the people who oppose us, are they professing Jesus Christ as God? Are they doing that? And if so, guess what? They could be family. If not, they were never part of the community, and they were out from us. He says, if they're not part of us, they went away from us. But guess what? We've got to listen. We've got to think. We've got to entertain them. And if they are believing and they are professing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and the God of revelation in this world, you know, we might take a moment to listen to what they have to say, how they're interpreting things, how they're doing things. But if they are not, then they need to move out, and we'll move away from them, because this is not what we are supposed to be doing. We exercise caution here, keeping in mind the words of our Lord to be careful about removing the splinter from the eye of someone else whenever we've got a log in our own. In other words, don't be too easy to find fault with someone else. We need to listen. We need to think about. We don't need to just all of a sudden pass judgment because we might not understand. The fourth thing today is we are then to follow Christ's example. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. That's the easiest thing. We've been hearing that our whole life. You've heard that from the very beginning. We are to follow Christ's example because Jesus laid down His life for us. That's it. We know what not to do, so what should we do? We must do what Jesus said. We are to lay down our lives and to love not only the word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. There is much at stake here. Eternity is in the balance. So you and I must get it right. There's a lot at stake. When Jesus Christ in our life, there is love and there's forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. If you don't forgive, you're not going to get very far. His very identity as God's unique Son, our personal Savior, places Him at the centerpiece of our faith. He's it. He's our model, the example of living faith, whom we seek to follow. But even more, He is the central Lord of heaven and earth, before whom we bow down, whom we adore, and whom we obey. Genesis 4 says that Cain went out east of Eden to a very lonely place, a place apart from God and apart from others. It was a loveless and lifeless place. It is where some choose to live even today. Even right in the midst of us, in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, in our schools, people choose to live in a loveless and lifeless place. If that's where you are today, the move back to reconciliation is not very far. It begins with repentance and it moves to restoration. And Jesus Christ is the one who leads us there. God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Remember that this day, that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. You see, we need to lay down our lives each and every day because that's what our Lord did for us. He laid down His life for us so that we could have life and have it eternal. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word this day. We thank You, Lord, for John's words, and we thank You, Lord, for the words that we found throughout the Old and New Testament today, to know that, Lord, You are the light of life. You are the perfecter of all that is. You are the good shepherd. You are the one who is there for us. You're that gentle shepherd. You're leading us. You're guiding us in this world that we live in. And, Lord, we know that we are a part of a world that is broken, but we are a part of a world that is working very hard to make things right. We are a part of a world that sees hurt and destruction all around us, but we also are a part of a world that sees goodness happening every day. We are a part of a world that is dying, and we are also a part of a world that is living. And Lord, we just ask that You allow us to be truly in that place, wherever You've called us to be, wherever we are, with our families, our friends, our communities, when we go into the garden store, when we go to Walmart, when we go to the gas station, wherever we might be, that we are that same person there that we are when we walk in the doors of this place, when we meet our neighbors at the post office, when we meet someone along the way, when we run into someone we do not know but maybe speaks to us. Lord, allow us to be all that You have called us to be. Allow us to be willing to serve You always. Allow us, Lord, to lay down our lives each and every day and follow You. Be with us now. Amen.